The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on January 8, 1991 in Sri Mayapur. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter 1, Verse 9.
Please, therefore, being blessed with many years, explain to us in an easily understandable way what you have ascertained to be the absolute and ultimate good for the people in general. Translation repetition. Please, therefore,
be blessed
with many years.
Explain to us
in an easily understandable way
what you have ascertained
to be the absolute
an ultimate good
for the people in general. Report by Srila Prabhupada. In Bhagavad Gita, worship of the Acharya is recommended. The Acharyas and Goswamis are always absorbed in thought of the well-being of the general public, especially their spiritual well-being. Spiritual well-being is automatically followed by material well-being. The Acharyas therefore give directions in spiritual well-being for people in general. Foreseeing the incompetencies of the people in this age of Kali, or the Iron Age of Coral, sages requested that Sukha Goswami give a summary of all revealed scriptures, because the people of this age are condemned in every respect. Sages therefore inquired of the absolute good, which is the ultimate good for the people. The condemned state of affairs of the people of this age is described as follows. Thus in the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation and purport to chapter 1, Canto 1, Text 9 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the matter of questions by the sages on this 504th year of our Lord Chaitanya and Sri Sri Radha Vallabha Sri Mandir, Tan Melbourne, 8th of January 1991. So, the sages of Naimisharanya are blessing Sutta Goswami to have a long life. They want him to speak for 1,000 years in the Bhagavatam. They want to do 1,000-year yajna to just go on hearing the Bhagavatam in Naimisharanya. Because any spiritual activities performed in Naimisharanya have effect in purifying the whole universe. The Puranas, it says that there's a kind of subtle hub of the universe which is situated at Naimisharanya. So any transcendental activities performed there reduces the demonic nature of the human and other residents of the universe and increases their transcendental or godly nature. So here, Swami also is being worshipped. Prabhupada states that in the Bhagavad Gita, worship of the Acharyas is recommended. The Acharyas and Goswamis are always absorbed in thoughts of the well-being of the general public, especially their spiritual well-being. Acharya means, knows the purport of the scriptures, and who explains that in an understandable way to his followers, or to the listeners, who practices what the teachings of the scriptures are. And, in other words, he teaches by example, and who can dispel the doubts of the people. So, Acharya, one who knows, who practices, and who can explain. Three things have been: knowing, explaining, practicing. If someone knows, explains, and doesn't practice, then it doesn't work. If one doesn't know, then he can't explain. So all the three things that are there, then that person is called Acharya. Of course, Acharya has two kinds of significances. That's a general meaning. Also, Acharya means that person who is doing this authoritatively for the whole Sampradaya. This would be called the Sampradaya Acharya. So, previously there would be one or more Sampradaya Acharyas. At this time, in this time, we're not having any Sampradaya Acharyas as such. If someone is an Acharya, that means that he's able to understand the purport of the scriptures and explain it and practice it, and thus be a purifying inspiration to the devotees that can become self-evident. But not that such a person would be the absolute authority for the whole Sampradaya. In any case, Goswamis and Acharyas, Goswami, Go means senses, Swami means controller. To be the controller of the senses. The opposite of Goswami is Godasa, servant or slave of the senses. So if we engage our senses in Krishna consciousness, that is the way of becoming a Goswami. In India, there are many hereditary so-called Goswamis. Actually, the original Goswamis were the renounced order of life. They had many disciples. Some of those disciples were Vihasas. Those Vihasa disciples naturally had children. So they called their children as Goswamis, because they were disciples of the Goswamis. In this way, a hereditary Goswami caste came into existence. So, really, Goswami should be for someone who is completely controlling their senses. It's not a hereditary matter. So now you have so-called Goswamis who are not actually following any kind of rules and regulations in some cases. So Prabhupada, he said, Dawats become more like a social fashion. We respect them because they're coming from a great family. But unless they are practicing, then they are not worthy of our worship. The worship is recommended throughout all the Vedic literatures. Here confirmed by Srila Prabhupada. It's an opportunity for devotees to express their devotion. Just as we worship Lord Krishna, the very ceremonies of worship give us a media by which we can express our devotion, our love, offer our respects and service to the Lord. Similarly, such worship is also prescribed in the scripture for the acharya or for the spiritual master. There's a Vedic statement, acharya upasanam, worshipping the spiritual master. So, of course, one time Srila Prabhupada was arriving in Boston, States of America, after maybe almost a year or 8 months gap. He was very sick in 1968, had gone to India. He came back sometime in 1969, and the devotees, you can imagine how happy they were that Srila Prabhupada was returning, because we were all chanting, we didn't know whether he would survive the illness. When he arrived in the airport, Then someone looked over the customs enclosure and said, he's inside. So everyone was chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But it was chanting, you know, waiting, went for all of a sudden, they had it like painted, they had some kind of a barrier or separated. And over that separated, you could see the people inside the custom enclosure. All of a sudden, they saw Prabhupada's hand and his deed, they go above it. When the devotee saw it, they started exploding, jumping up and down. And one devotee was jumping so ecstatically that somehow other devotees, Prabhupada, smashed him in the head with a carton. But that devotee was so ecstatic to see Prabhupada's hand. He's jumping up and down with blood pouring from his head, didn't even know it. So some newspaper, you know, takes a picture of that, naturally, I would get these things. And they say, Hare Krishna, jumping up and down with shaking in his body, tears coming from his eyes, the blood coming from his head, he's converting his head. So the paper could see that he was manifesting all ecstatic symptoms. They were highly impressed by that. Then finally, Srila Prabhupada came out from the customs enclosure. And everybody, all the devotees, all of a sudden, big kirtan just stopped. Everyone fell on the ground and paid their obeisances. And all of a sudden, the television, the newspaper, the just general public, they're standing there and they see Prabhupada and just this, you know, ocean of people bowing down in the airport, you know, and looking at what is going on. Then Prabhupada sits down, they have arranged for him to sit down. And then each devotee has a garland, there must have been hundreds of garlands, so they're offering the Prabhupada garland. It goes up to his eyes, and he takes off, again it comes up, takes off, everyone is offering a garland. So right in the spontaneous worship of the founder Acharya, right in the airport. So I think the people, they could never expect it ever, they didn't know what to think about all this. Maybe from their point of view, we're worshipping a human being. I'm not saying we're worshipping the representative, the spiritual ambassador of the spiritual world, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anyway, after all these reception and welcoming ceremonies, then the television, you know, how they're all pushing to come back to call back. Please, I want to do the interview. So they come up and they do the interview. So Prabhupada said that, here they are worshipping or respecting, receiving the spiritual master, the guru. The guru is a representative of God. And he considers himself to be the humble servitor of the Supreme Lord of God. However, if the guru thinks that he is God, then he is not God, G-O-D. He is God. D-O-G. The Prabhupada reversed God, the opposite, and it became God. So that was the statement he made on the television. Everyone was very surprised. So, in this way, so the Prabhupada, he wanted to dispel the doubts that anybody had, that we are not worshipping the Guru thinking that he is God, but that he is the intimate or confidential servitor of the Lord. Explanation in the Guru Vastaka. Sakshar Marityana Samasta Shastrai Yuktastada Bhavyate Eva Sadhvi Kintu Prayo Priya Eva Tasya Mando Mando Gurusi Mando Gurusi Charana Bhavinda. That sakshat haritvena, to have the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tvena, of the quality. Sometimes we consider that this man is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but that he has the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he's a confidential servitor. He's engaging in confidential service. What is a confidential service? Living the fallen souls. from this material world. We read last night in the Chaitanya Charitamrita how Lord Chaitanya's spiritual master instructed him that you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And you explain the glories of the Harinam Sankirtan process to the people at large and deliver them. So, then in that purport of that verse, Srila Prabhupada quoted the verse where Prahlad Maharaj is explaining how he is not have any personal thing to ask from Lord Nrsimhadeva, that he is happy just to chant the holy names. But he's in great anxiety considering the misdirected or misguided population and how it's essential that they should be delivered. He wants to deliver them. And he's simply absorbing himself and making different kinds of plans for delivering the conditioned souls. See that Srila Prabhupada, he was constantly engaging in making plans for delivering the conditioned souls. His temples, his farm projects, his book publication, the holy gods, development of Sri Vrindavan, and the massive development of Sri Mayapur. These are just some of Srila Prabhupada's plans for delivering the conditioned souls. His instruction to do varnashram, to do congregational preaching, village preaching. He had so many plans. But he couldn't reveal all of them. So we weren't ready to do everything. He said also that he's done half of the work, the other half is still yet to be done. So he's given us a lot of confidential service to perform, many plans to make to deliver the conditioned soul to Krishna consciousness. So, ladies and I miss Shivani, although they're sitting down to listen to the Bhagavatam, they're Goshti Anandis. Their intention is to see the whole world delivered, the whole world established in devotional service. And they decided to do that at Naimi Shivani to be able to reach the most number of people, or the greater number of people. So, before they do anything else, they're respecting their teacher, the acharya, the spiritual master. Although, first comes the worship of guru, then other Vaishnavas and other previous speakers of the Bhagavatam. So, this way everything begins. He wants them to explain, they want them to explain in an easy and ascertainable way the absolute ultimate good for all the people. People in this age of Kali are not really fortunate. Narada Muni, he was very much in anxiety when he considered what was the state of affairs in the age of Kali going to be. He was in such anxiety that he went to see Lord Krishna and Dwarka in order to find out what would happen. And Lord Krishna told him he was coming again in the age of Kali as his devotee. Then he'd be giving out freely love of Krishna to everyone. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in this way, then Narada Muni went and he happened to meet Uddhava. And Uddhava was very concerned what's going to happen when Krishna leaves the planet. When Kali Yuga begins, Narada told him that I was having the same anxiety. I'm worried about this. I am not feeling any anxiety. I thought Kali Yuga was the worst of all the ages. But now I find out that the Lord Himself is advancing in anyone who chants Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Following the instructions of that Lord's incarnation, they can easily get pure love of Krishna, which was not easily available even in the previous ages. So by this simple process, everyone can get love of Krishna. In this way, now I understand that this Kali Yuga is not the worst of all the ages. It's the best. It's the crown jewel. If people take up, by taking up this easily available process of Krishna consciousness. So, say in Mugatavu's multi vision, he quoted one verse in the Bhagavad Gita that simply by remembering your names, people become attached to you. By the process of chanting Hare Krishna, then the conditioned souls become attracted to the Lord. So, devotees, they engage in the Harinam, glorifying the Lord, so that people, by hearing about the Lord, hearing the Lord's holy names, they become attached to Krishna. That is a special benediction. Benediction, Prabhupada explained, is so great that even the residents of the heavenly planets, they are eager to come and join the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya. They are willing to give up their position in the heavenly planets. When Brihaspati heard that Krishna was coming, the guru of the devas, he decided to take birth in Navadvipa in order to become the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya. When you become, even you're a deva in the previous life, but once you take another birth, then you are conditioned by that particular body. Until you leave your body, you won't remember what you previously were necessarily. This is an interesting feature, that devas can come down to take birth and then return back up to their deva position. They have a lifespan of some millions of years, so for 100 years they come down and go back out, take a little vacation. Down as a pig, that was another type of vacation. By being cursed by Vihaspati. In this case, Vihaspati came down eager to serve Krishna. But once he came down in Navadvipa, then Navadvipa at that time was filled with Mayavadis. So by getting the association of the Mayavadis, or the impersonalists, he became a Mayavadi. And he forgot what he was coming for. And before Lord Chaitanya came over to go to school in Vidyanagar, he knew that Lord Chaitanya has been in school in Vidyanagar. He is 100 meters from the place where Lord Chaitanya went to school. But before Lord Chaitanya went there, he already went off to Jagannath Puri. And there he became a professor, a teacher, an acharya at Vedanta for all the sannyasis of the Shankara school. And when Lord Chaitanya went to go to school, he was already gone. His name was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Vihaspati took birth. You can see his birthplace just by the Vidyanagar school where Lord Chaitanya went to school. That's a really interesting place. Lord Chaitanya, one day he forgot to bring his, teacher was chastising, where's your pen or something, so he took some. He had one twig, which was the best twig for making pens. In those days they carved from wood. He just put it in the ground and it just grew up into a whole tree. And the whole tree, then all the students would go and take off branches and use for making pens. They didn't have to remember to bring it. It was right there in the courtyard. And that tree is still there. According to certain botanists, there's no duplicate of that tree. It's like a unique tree in the world. I don't know. That's what the local botanists say. I don't have to verify it. Anyway, there's no other tree like that in India. So, the Lord Chaitanya, of course you know later, he went to Jagannath Puri. And there he met Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya picked him up from the Jagannath Puri temple where he was lying unconscious in ecstasy, seeing Lord Jagannath. Took him to his house and saw that Lord Chaitanya was in deep trance, that he wasn't even breathing. It seemed no heartbeat, no breath. Then he just put some cotton by his nostrils to see little slight movement of air was there. So So in this way, he recognized that he was a great devotee. He didn't recognize he was Krishna yet. Gopinath Acharya, his in-law, he was teaching him the Lord Chaitanya as Krishna himself. But Sarvabhaumacharya didn't accept things so easily. He wanted scriptural proof. So anyway, then he offered to teach Lord Chaitanya the Vedanta. So for 7 days, he was teaching Lord Chaitanya Vedanta. And Lord Chaitanya was just listening. So he said, any questions? No? The 7 days that I've been teaching you the Vedanta, for 7 days, you don't have any question? You don't understand? But no, I understand all the verses you're speaking. I don't understand your commentary. Understand the verses, but you don't understand my commentary. The commentary was supposed to make the verse more understandable. He said, I understand the verses, I don't understand your commentary. That meant that he was giving indirectly a little slap in the face. Because I don't accept your commentary. So like this then, I said, well, what is your explanation? So Lord Chaitanya was explaining the verses according to Bhagavatam. And then that turned into an explanation on the Uttama Sloka, the Atmarama Samimaya. That verse was explained by Lord Chaitanya in 64 different ways. Such a way that then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya remembered that then he could understand that actually Lord Chaitanya was Krishna himself. That no one could explain things so exactly in such a manner without being the Lord. And then he remembered all the verses that Gopinath Acharya said that the Lord would appear as a Navadvi, 24 years to be a Grihastha, and 24 years to be Sannyasi. So that Lord Chaitanya was actually Krishna. Then he said, please reveal your original form to me. Then he showed the Shabuj one. Sarabhuj Bhattacharya paid his obeisance. Still that temple is there where Lord Chaitanya showed the Sarabhuj form to, the six-handed form to form of Bhattacharya. And you can see the deity, the six-handed form deity of Lord Chaitanya. The Lord came and delivered his devotee Brihaspati. But Brihaspati, by taking birth, wanted to join Lord Chaitanya Kirtan movement. He got tired. That's why when we are in Krishna consciousness now, we may say, well, Lord Chaitanya's movement here for 10,000 years. Even if I leave this body and I don't go back to Krishna, next birth I can take birth again as a devotee. Well, according to the Bhagavad Gita, our next birth could be as a merchant, a rich family, as a son of a Brahmana, could be a Mayavadi Brahmana, or as a family of yogis. Could be a Bhakti Yogi or other yogis. If we take birth in a Bhakti Yogi family, then we're in good luck. More or less all the other births have got a certain degree of risk. If you're born in a rich family, you may not have any economic need, but then the situation today in rich families and all is so much sense gratification that spiritually people are not very attuned. When such people, however, come into contact with a bona fide creature, then they can return back to the spiritual path and begin where they left off. Normally, it's not common for people to immediately begin to chant 16 rounds and immediately begin to practice devotional service fully. It requires a lot of association, little development, but if somebody immediately takes it up, spontaneously is attracted. These could be indications that in a previous life they had practiced devotional service but they didn't finish up. While we have the opportunity we're in devotional service, we shouldn't take the risk of not completing fully our Krishna consciousness in this lifetime. Because we don't know what our next birth will be. Of course, the Lord, we may spiritual master may somehow come and save us, even though we're in some weird place. But Srila Prabhupada requested, please don't make the Guru come back. He revealed the story of this Vilamangal Thakur, who was very attached to Chintamani, the prostitute. But actually, Chintamani was the guru, the Diksha guru from the previous life, who took the birth as a beautiful woman, knowing that his disciple was very attached to illicit sex, in order to give back the disciple just at the opportune moment, then preach to him, you should have this much attachment that you have for this temporary body of flesh and bone and mucus and all this, for the personality of Godhead, for Krishna, the eternal youthful Lord. So that shocked him, and then from then on his life changed. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explained, we shouldn't force the guru to come back as a prostitute by neglecting our present practice of Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada wrote me a letter once that the spiritual master is officially responsible to come back again to deliver the disciple if the disciple does not return to the spiritual world. Whether Krishna gives any dispensation or this is a matter people are discussing, but I have it very much in black and white, where Srila Prabhupada said, in any case, the guru is responsible. He has to expect that when he's taking a disciple, that the disciple doesn't complete Krishna consciousness. The bottom line is he may have to come back to save the disciple. Be prepared to do that. Therefore, the scriptures say that the guru should test the disciple, whether the disciple is serious about going back to God. Taking initiation is not an ordinary thing. It's not something that we just take lightly, because it means that we're binding the spiritual master to our life. If later on we leave the path, it means that it's not only affecting us, it's affecting our spiritual master, multiple effects. If someone who disobeys the order of the guru, leaves the path and instructions of the guru, is considered a guru druhi, or a killer of the guru, because he's forcing the guru to take birth again. If you take birth, you have to die. So one should be very careful. Of course, on the other hand, if one disciple, we also read a few days ago, just 2 days, that if one disciple goes back to Godhead, Siddhanta Sarkar said that his whole mission, everything, he doesn't mind turning in all the buildings, all the everything, if one person even can become a pure devotee, he considers everything as a success. Of course, we want many devotees to become pure devotees. Taking the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so Srila Prabhupada requested us to take this very seriously. Don't take a risk of being born again. Try your level best to be Krishna conscious fully in this lifetime. Has a very intimate rasas with his devotees. Each of these rasas has its own flavor. He had rasa also with Brihaspati. He's his great devotee from higher planets. He's also a Vaishnava, he's a guru. Although he is more like a... He may not always be teaching pure devotional service in the spiritual world, or even in the heavenly planets, but he's getting the pure dose of pure Krishna consciousness in this planet by the Lord's mercy. When he came down, he also got a little bewildered. So it's better now to finish up our business by being completely focused on being Krishna conscious in this life. Because the spiritual master is taking so much responsibility, so we offer him respect. Sometimes the spiritual master may become overloaded if too many disciples are there who are not following. There's also various risks that by taking too many disciples without proper verification, that what can happen is that the guru's mind can become polluted, can become materialistic. What can be worse than that? That's the greatest curse. Overloaded. So therefore the scriptures say don't take too many disciples. At the same time, Prabhupada said that in order to preach Krishna consciousness, the guru has to take disciples. The dichotomy, there's a contradiction. One place it says don't take too many disciples, other place it says to order to preach you have to take disciples. So then Prabhupada qualifies that if someone is sincere about going back to Godhead, they want to be Krishna conscious, they want to serve Krishna eternally, approaching that spiritual master, then it's the Guru's duty to help such sincere candidate to go back to Krishna. He can't refuse. So then what he has to do is a little bit verify, test whether they're actually sincere. Are they sincere about it? Of course we ask people, are they sincere? Are they really want to go back to God? They say yes. I remember one person said, well, I made a promise, I broke a promise. I made so many promises, I broke a promise. Of people, lack of mercy. That you read Mahabharata. Mahabharata is a great history. It's known for many moral instructions. You find that if somebody gives their word, that it is so strong. I mean, whole wars going to the forest for 4 years just because I gave my word. The people had so much character that if they said something to a brahmana or made a solemn kind of vow or promise, they just stuck to that, no matter what the consequences. Like Bali Maharaj, he gave his word. His guru said, I'm going to curse you. I'm going to see you lose everything. He said, whatever it may be, I give him my word to this dwarf brahmana. That is what set aside brahmanas, kshatriyas, even to some extent the Vaisya upper varnas, of varnashram, that they were very, had a high integrity. And that honor was something that was promoted. So somebody made a vow, you could depend on it. That's why sometimes Srila Prabhupada, I remember that in India, there was one man, he was following all the principles, he was taking tea still. But he was a very respectable gentleman, and he was begging permission to Prabhupada, said, you're taking tea. Technically, you should not take it. He said, I don't know how long I'll live, how long you'll be present, this is the opportunity of my life. I promised you, I'll never take tea again. So Prabhupada considered that person, he was a very respectable family and everything. He said, okay, for you, I'm making an exception based on your word. Of course, he followed all the other things, but this tea was wrong. But so Prabhupada still had that person, he didn't take after that, never took again. He followed the strict rule. And Prabhupada had a little license, we don't generally take that risk. Because we consider ourselves a little more in a humble position. But we can see that Prabhupada would give some credence to that type of high heritage or people take it really seriously. That was something in the West that was a little frustrating to Prabhupada. People would take vows of marriage and then they wouldn't stick to it. Later on they'd break up and take vows of sannyas, they wouldn't stick to it. Vows of initiation, lack of culture, spiritual culture. So when we take a vow before God, we stick to it. Many religions never take any vow. It's the only vow you take is something before God. For His pleasure. Being married to have a spiritual family life for the pleasure of Krishna. Taking vows of initiation to serve Krishna through the spiritual master in the disciplic succession. So we know these sages are taking the vow. We're going to stay here and we want to hear from you. They're going to stick to it. Because they have that kind of character. When Parikshit Maharaj said, I'm going to 7 days, I'm going to fast until death. I want to hear the, I want to get the absolute truth. They stick to it. We don't have such great capacity to take, huge vows. So just a vow that don't eat meat, fish, egg, onion, garlic, no intoxication, no gambling, no illicit sex. This much vow, we should avoid these illicit. If unavoidably something happens, but then still you have a lifelong vow to avoid it. Immediately you have to again reinstate yourself in the proper position, even if somehow accidentally somebody slipped. So we have to avoid it. That means eternally we have to avoid it. And then if someone doesn't know the significance, or doesn't, before taking such a heavy vow, they should analyze. If you take it, you get strength by following. It goes both ways. You take your commitment before Krishna also gives you the strength to follow it if you keep on trying. The other way, if you neglect the commitment, then it's a, then there's no loss and diminution, but also there's some delay is there. We had the opportunity to reach in this lifetime, and now a person is being delayed. So, we should take our commitment to Krishna consciousness very seriously, try our level best. Srila Prabhupada, one of the things, several kinds of secret of success. One of the things he said is that I understood from the writings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Prabhupada said, that to carry out the instruction of the spiritual master should be more dear to the disciple than his very life itself. So, when he got the order from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, to print books, etc., etc., is more important than even his life himself. And that determination to carry out the order of Guru, that is a secret to success. I remember debating with some, being put in a situation where some very senior Vaishnava, far more senior to me, put me in a situation where they said, you don't have to follow the order of the Guru. Feel inside of God. It feels good, you know, spiritually, then that's best. That this is not what we are taught by a spiritual master, that we are taught we have to carry out his instructions. But that's the most important thing. You know, whether for the moment it feels good or not, but ultimately, this for our ultimate benefit to carry out his instructions. Even in the form of great Vaishnavas, even in the form of friends, family members, of ordinary people, of any, she can come in any form to try to get us to not follow the disciplined succession, not to follow devotional service. It said that sometimes the devas, they also come in different forms to, if they think that the devotee is becoming too powerful, they think maybe he'll take birth in one of the heavenly planets and take over my position. But sometimes the devas and apsaras or something or come in the dreams. In different ways they try to take away the force of some devotee or sannyasi especially. So a lot of tests can be there. So what is the solution? Srila Prabhupada said you simply have to cling at the lotus feet of Gaudiya. Just cling out. Thing happened, one devotee was living in Mayapur, he told me that he had been visiting a temple for several years, but he never took it very seriously. So one time he was walking alongside the ocean in Hawaii, and it was on a big cliff overlooking the Pacific Ocean. And he was still very attached to sense gratification, little this, little that, and it was not surrendering. Even though he was chanting off and on. All of a sudden he slipped and he fell off the cliff. He said, oh, why did I surrender to Krishna? You know, why did I delay? You know, Krishna, if I get out of this situation, I can go right to the temple, I promise you. He's hanging on like that for hours. Then he thinks he must have been like that for like 6 hours. And he just kind of sweat pouring in. You know, if you let go, you're dead. And I'm just holding on. And he's like, I can't hold any longer. I can't hold. Krishna, Krishna. And then there was a couple walking along, you know, looking over them. He sees two fingers, you know. Like, looking. What's going on? Hello, Krishna. They pull him up, you know, and then he said he went straight to the temple and fell down before the deities. I surrender. It's a true story. So, forget that padam padam yi padam. Yeah, padam padam yad yi padam natesha. There's danger at every step. We should take shelter now while we have the time, like King Kulashekhar praying. I don't want to wait till I'm dying of old age and my voice is all choked up and my teeth are falling out and I can't hear anything and I become filled with mucus and I want to chant the holy name of Krishna Instead, all comes out from my throat is some. Better take me now while I'm healthy and sane in body and mind. I can chant your holy name, thinking of just wrap my consciousness around your lotus feet like the swan wrapping itself in the stem of the lotus under the water. So, the devotee, they want to take advantage. Of course, Krishna protects his devotee. If we remain consistent in our devotional service, then Krishna also, Prabhupada, assures he won't desert us at the end. Prepared, we know that any time danger can come, any time there can be sudden death. I personally have experienced this on more than one occasion, and very vividly last year in September in 89. Without any warning, death can just be coming right there. Not to give any kind of knock. We may have to leave this body. So we should not give any rain checks that, well, I'll become Krishna conscious later. Atata. Now we should take it up. Brahma Jigyasa. Complete our inquiry to realize the Absolute. In Naimisharanya, they've got a bona fide spiritual master there. They want to take shelter of him. They want to hear from him about the Absolute Truth. They don't want to waste the opportunity. And they're not only thinking about their own welfare, but they're thinking, let all the people be benefited. So the devotees are like trees who are giving their shade and their protection to anyone to take shelter. That they want to see the whole world given the shelter of Lord Krishna. So on one hand they take the full shelter of the Lord, on the other hand they want to see that others are also saved. These introductory verses to the Srimad Bhagavatam are very instructing. Tomorrow, a very nice verse for Sotamaras. The description of Kali Yuga. With his sense of humor, I'm sure he'll make it very interesting, instructive. So we should avoid the influence of the age of Kali. We should take advantage of the special benediction. You can be in the best age, you can be in the worst age. Presenting the better side. We hear tomorrow about the unlucky, lazy, misguided, quarrelsome, disturbed side of Kali Yuga, which is the other alternative we don't take to Krishna consciousness, and which we're seeing. This morning we walked just quick to the beach, to the ocean for a quick darshan before Madhav Darshan. I said good morning to some guy and he just started swearing at us, saying all the vulgar language. I don't even know the Australian slang, but they said we can't repeat to you what he said. I just said good morning. Nice morning, sunrise, you know, they're out there fishing, you know, complete mode of ignorance. This guy is disturbed for no reason. So people are suffering so much. Balance, emotional disturbance, they're suffering. And by getting some Krishna prasadam, by getting hearing the Harinam, practically speaking, that's the, what other hope is there for such people? Inclination towards spiritual life, for even inimical to devotees. But still the devotees are so kind, they give everyone the opportunity to take prasadam, to hear the holy name, to see the Rath Yatra. For the devotees are like desire trees, they're giving everyone the highest benediction. So Prabhupada is giving us that opportunity. He said, if you think you got something from me, or if you feel indebted, you try to give it to others. So we should take what Prabhupada has given us, utilize it fully, and then try to give it to others. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Any questions? Krishna is always not different from his name. In other ages, when you chant the holy name offensively, you won't get love of Krishna. You have to chant it inoffensively. Ajamil chanted without offense, so he got delivered. But it was very difficult to chant inoffensively the holy name. But Lord Chaitanya has given a special dispensation that by chanting his name first, by worshipping him, then there's no offenses. And then you can chant the holy name by Lord Chaitanya's mercy in the kind of virtual offenseless chanting. Bit of offenseless chanting, even though there may be some offenses, but by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, you can still get the nectar. Prabhupada explained the sahajyas, they're making offenses, but when they chant the name of Lord Chaitanya, they're feeling ecstasy. Of course, the offenses may obstruct them from having a permanent love of Krishna, but temporarily at least they're getting some feelings of ecstasy. Then if they refine their chanting and chant offenselessly, then that becomes a fixed sthayibha. They'll lose it. But for instance, many examples are given in Chaitanya Bhagavat, for instance. It states that Ajamil, he chanted the name of Narayana in Satya Yuga, I believe. And just by chanting, he was delivered. Also in Dwapara Yuga, Draupadi chanted Keshava Krishna when she was having her dress, her sari, ripped off. And by chanting, Krishna said he was immediately moved and he came and delivered her by her offensive chanting. Someone chanted offenselessly, the holy name always was powerful, but in Kali Yuga, this is the Yuga Dharma, this is the recommended process. For instance, in every Yuga there's a process. So the name was chanted in other Yugas, but like in Satya Yuga, the main process was meditation. If someone chanted, they maybe chant mentally some mantra, but they would be doing meditative process, like Dhruva Maharaj. He was all the chanting, it was like mentally, and he was doing a very heavy yoga meditation at the same time. If it was Treta Yuga, fire sacrifice, still some people were meditating, some people were doing temple worship to some degree, but some people were chanting, but the main thing was fire yoga. In that Dharma Yuga, there was temple worship. Still you find that there was Aswamedh Yagya, some Yagyas were there. But that wasn't the main process. The main process was temple worship or worshipping Krishna. So in Kali Yuga, we still have fire sacrifice for weddings, for initiations, for some special ceremonies. But that's not our principal method of self-realization. Well, along with the fire sacrifice, we'll be chanting Hare Krishna. We have deity worship, but along with that, we have a chanting. Our RT ceremonies are filled with bhajans and kirtans. We still meditate, if you want to call it that, for 5 minutes a day on our Gayatri mantra. But chant Hare Krishna. So all the processes are there in each age, but they're, you know, in proportion. Like here, this is the Yuga Dharma is Harinam. We're dependent on Harinam. But you see, next to that, temple worship is next most prominent. And then occasionally there's a fire yagya, and then meditation is really rare. You can meditate nowadays. But all the processes are there, but the one which is most effective, which is recommended, which is the process that is to care can carry us all the way to the destination, is in this age chanting Harinam. So Harinama, Kali Kali Dharma, Harinama Sankirtan. Is Nama Avatar. Krishnam Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Sudhani Temuktoha Vinatva Nama Namino. Do you know that verse? Nama Namino. Krishna and his name is not different. Namani Krishnas. Krishna's name is transcendental. Touchstone. Transcendental quality. Nam Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa. Vigraha is the form of transcendental ecstatic mellows, of rasas, of devotional loving ecstasies. Rasa vigraha, filled with nectar. Purna suddha, nitya muktoha, is completely full, pure suddha. Nitya muktoha, eternally liberated, transcendental, free from all material qualities. And it's not different. Krishna and his name are not different. Abhinatva nāna nāni no. Abhinna. Bhinna means separate. Bhinna prakriti astadha. Separated energy. And it's abhinna. Non-different. Unseparated. Always. But in this age, this is especially the most powerful. Because Krishna and his name are not different. You can directly get in contact with Krishna, in touch with Krishna, in the presence of Krishna by chanting his name. And so what is more purifying than directly being in the Krishna's presence? Krishna Surya Sama Mayamayandakar Jaha Krishna Taha Mayamati Adhikar. Krishna is like the sun. Maya is like darkness. Wherever there is Krishna, there is no darkness. So we bring Krishna's presence and that cuts away the darkness. Is that alright?
Here, Prabhupada, to go ahead with that visionary one, that if the disciple doesn't make it back to Godhead, then the guru has to return to attempting the disciple back. Does this mean that
he's responsible?
Responsible. I was just thinking maybe...
It's interesting, we don't know how to see that. Of course, my liberated soul can do many things. Back to the material world doesn't only necessarily mean taking birth. If you're a liberated soul, you could come back for 10 minutes, for 1 day, for 1 year. There's an interesting pastime with Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur that one day one old man joined the ashram. For 3 days kept coming to him and asking some questions, and Bhakti Siddhanta would be talking to him alone. And then after the 3rd day, he passed away. And Bhakti Siddhanta was in deep meditation and told some disciple that my guru had come in this form and I couldn't recognize him, now he's gone. And no one knew, nobody to this day is like one of those esoteric things, nobody knows really what it means. Except that somehow his guru came in this other form. But it doesn't mean the guru make him take birth. That's the bottom line. He's responsible. Krishna may send him. He has to come back. But it doesn't preempt that there may be other ways also of saving disciples. He may save us, send a representative. He may. Bottom line, he may have to come back also. We can't discount that. At the same time, it doesn't mean that there may be some other way that he can help someone. I'm supposed to bring back that disciple, up to the point of taking birth. Sentimental mood, I don't know if it's sentimental or whatever, I was one time, you know, just considering like some devotee was distributing so many books, I was seeing how some devotee was sacrificing so much for Srila Prabhupada's movement, and just for, I was just like overwhelmed that, I felt so grateful by that devotee's enthusiastic service to Srila Prabhupada's movement. That I considered that if such a devotee was to get lost in the material world subsequently, he wouldn't feel any hesitation, even if it wasn't a disciple, if even just because it might be somebody on the shelter, to come back and try to save such a person, let them continue with their spiritual life. That it's, the life is there's personal relationships. Just like of person gets dying in the fire, people run into the burning houses and bring out their loved ones. It's not just like, of course, at the beginning everything is rules and regulations. But you have to understand that also this personal relationship, guru loves his disciples so much, he's willing to do this out of love. Not just because, he's forced to do it. Something I realized somehow that Prabhupada's mercy, and I could appreciate even how, in particular, moment I got a little deeper realization that how this can be, that we feel some special love and affection for devotees. That we can take this kind of, it's not just as a mechanical burden. Of course, initially we may take it like that. I'm trying to understand, Prabhupada said that how the spiritual master may come back even if a person is not initiated disciple, is a shiksha disciple. Because of love, because of mercy, may come back. You hear somebody calling out in their prayers and their mind, they're crying, they're stuck in the maya. Krishna, leave that dear soul rotting there. So some spiritual master may have that compassion, his own sacrifice to come and deliver the disciple. Should we, when the spiritual master is so merciful, he's so kind, it's not even, that okay, Krishna's going to have to go back. Actually, we voluntarily go back because of love, because of compassion.
Why should we force that? Why we should take it? That's what we call kripana, miserly, unmerciful. Someone is loving us so much and we're just being heartless and not taking the care. We should try to practice our Krishna consciousness, knowing how much Srila Prabhupada, how much the Guru, how much the Vaishnavas actually care for us. And why we want to cause them any even possibility of inconvenience when they have so much love for us. So out of love, we can do unlimited things. Rules and regulations in the beginning, but out of love you can get more. People say, how can I do this? If you actually see the love of the disciplic succession coming down, a little bit of gratitude if you feel, there's no telling what you can do. But they say, love can move mountains. But how much Krishna loves us. We take one step towards them, they take 10 towards us. So why should we delay? In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which is tracing out the journey of the soul, like Sanatana Goswami, back to the spiritual world. Finally, when that soul reaches Krishna, it's very interesting. Finally, after going, you know, up to the spiritual world, down to the material world, again, you know, he's going to the 14 planetary systems, the Brahmajyoti, Kailash, Brahmajyoti, Vaikuntha, Ayodhya, Dwarka, you know, you name it. He went to the entire, you know, cosmos, material and spirit, you know, looking for Krishna. And finally, when he meets Krishna, and then Krishna just embraces him, and he just melts, tears coming from his eyes, and he's just crying, and like Krishna saying, I've been waiting for you for so long. What is taking you so long? Why do we want Krishna to go on waiting? He's waiting for us. He is more eager for us to return to him than we can imagine. We are dilly-dallying, dragging our feet, making so many insignificant things as our top priority, putting the devotional service in the back burner. We should keep devotional service as our top priority, and whatever we have to do to exist, we do that.
And the Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita that when one takes the place of devotional service, it's more or less the clearing wall on material energy. So how much does a devotee see that as an obstacle for his advancement in devotional service?
You kind of lost me. What do we see as an obstacle? Declaring war on mind?
Yeah, declaring war on mind. It means that I read that mind has two energies. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's described that mind has two energies. And one of them, birth and aspiring transcendental self at heart, is devotional service. So how much do we credit mind for doing that, or how much do we just accept that due to our own instance that we want sufficient conscious?
Story of Ramayana. You know how when Marichi came and the golden, you know, multicolor rainbow deer, and then Ram went to, on the request of Sita, the kitchen, and put Sita under the protection of Lakshmana, but then there was a whole heavy situation developed that Marichi made the voice of Ram come out. So Sita said, you go and protect Ram. So Ram doesn't need any protection, nobody can get him. She was very concerned. So then Lakshmana made a circle. You don't leave this. It's a mystic protective circle. You can enter in. So Ravan then came dressed as a sadhu and he tried to enter in.
Here we got it.
She went to get some food and he went in. So then she said, come on in, because he was an enemy, he couldn't enter. So no, I cannot go there, I'm very tired, you just come out here. You know? So because he was dressed as a saint, as a sannyasi or like some kind of a sadhu. So Sita is always serving her devotees, so this way he cheated him. And of course the real Sita didn't come out. When she went out as a flame, Maya Sita came out. But this mystical circle been used in many definitions. But one of the things you can is like that. She was protected, but she shouldn't leave it. Like that, there's a mystic circle. You follow the orders of the Guru. And Maya cannot get you. But when we deviate, When we neglect instructions of the spiritual master, when we offend the Vaishnavas, when we do make offenses to the holy name, we have to do things which take us out of that protective circle. Otherwise, we're protected. Maya is waiting there. She's waiting at the doorstep. But devotees, how they can be Krishna conscious? It's not ordinary thing. To be Krishna conscious, you have to have the mercy of Guru and Krishna. So only the devotee, which is a devotee, can never fall down. Right? We've heard that so many times. What is that? Because Krishna protects the devotee. Then how do devotees fall down? Because they stop acting like devotees for some time. So because of, you know, virtually not acting as a devotee, then they fall down. That's why it says you have to cling to the lotus feet of Gaur Nithai. We have to stay within that protective shelter. Facing difficulty, what is it? One time one devotee was like in anxiety and problems. Why are you in anxiety? Your Guru is present in this planet. You can ask him questions. You can get your doubts taken. Having Guru means that all your problems will be solved. If you have a bona fide Guru. Difficulty comes, we can just submit to our spiritual. What do you have to advise? What is your instruction? We carry that out. So we're protected. But when we don't consult with the spiritual master, we don't consult with the Vaishnavas, we don't follow the scripture, we go out of that protective circle. In whatever form she wants to take, Maya is there waiting. That's why they say Krishna is like the sun. Where there's Krishna, there's no Maya. So we have to always look to Krishna. You look away from Krishna, you look away from the sun, what do you find behind you? Your shadow. Maya is like the shadow. She's right behind you. You don't have to look for her. You just look away from Krishna, she'll be there. So there was the purport. When should we look away from Krishna? So we keep our focus to Krishna. Mukha, Krishna boli say jiva nadir bani mukh. Toi maya tadir dai samsara ali duk. You know that verse? Krishna, when we turn our face, bahya mukh literally means turn your face away, or turn it to the outside. And what it actually, which can be translated to by turning your face to sense gratification. Devotional service is the attitude. I do everything to the pleasure of Krishna, reject what's unfavorable to Krishna. So when we turn our face away from the service attitude, and instead we look to enjoy boga vanchakur, desiring to have boga, to have sense gratification. Then, what happens is we get samsara aditu. Then we suffer material suffering. All the suffering I'm suffering, so all the suffering is because we're desiring sense gratification. If we keep our face to Krishna, we just desire to serve Krishna, there's no suffering. Suffering begins when we desire. The moment we desire to enjoy something, there is suffering. Lamentation, hankering, and desire to fear. There's another verse like that. Krishna bully says, no, that's another, there was it. Huh? And Nikas died in Jambudira. Where's the start? Yeah, the first. I thought of it. Maya mukha hoya bhoga vansha kore, maya nikasta aise chapatiya dhore. Turn your face away from Krishna. Very similar verse, parallel. You turn your face away from Krishna, desiring sense gratification. Maya nikasta aise, maya comes right up to you. Chapatiya dhore. And just like a rugby or a football tackle, she's got you. Maya, you can also think, you know, here in this Australian football system, you know, a lot of tackling is here, right? You can just imagine, you got a whole team all around just waiting, one wrong move and they can jump. As long as you go forward, keep your mind, eyes on Krishna, they can't do a thing. As soon as you look around for sense grat, tell me you're in the middle of the scrum. For those that know that. Maya, she's there, but you say, how can you be Krishna? That's why it says, be like a little child, simply depending on your parents, simply depending on Guru and Krishna, simply, you know, I'm so weak, I don't have any ability to be Krishna, I'm not a big pandit, I'm not a big devotee, I'm just a very insignificant fallen soul, I can only be Krishna by very following the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, of his pure representative in the simple succession, and this way, I have to be very, that's the secret of success. That's how you can become successful. If you think, I'm a big pandit, I can do this, a little that, I'm a great devotee, it doesn't matter, I'm an old devotee. It's alright if I do a little maya, I won't be affected. Don't kid yourself. Maya is more strong than you are. It's by remaining always in that humble position. Why great acharyas are praying, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dayakura More Tuma Bini Dohayalu Kyati Jagat Sansare Pati Pava Ketu Tavavatar Mosama Papi Na Pahi Deyar. You won't find anyone more sinful than you. Papi. No one is more sinful than I am. Das Thakur, the purest devotee, he's saying I'm more sinful than all the conditioned souls. Bhakti this one, or Bhakti that one, or whoever it may be. So I'm saying, I'm the more sinful than anybody. This is his position he's taking the Lord. Therefore, you're the most merciful, you're the deliverer of all the fallen souls, I'm the most fallen soul, therefore I should get delivered first. Keeping that humble attitude, that dependence on the mercy of Guru and Gauranga, then Maya may be here, ready to get you. She's not getting the chance. Tough luck. You want to give her a chance, she'll take it. Don't give her a chance. To the lotus feet of Lord. Be humble. Know that I need their mercy all the time. My great acharyas are praying like that. They're not praying, I'm an old devotee, I'm an acharya, I don't have to particularly follow, I don't have to, I can go over here. You know, hear Bhaktivinoda Thakur say, they only hear some, you know, 7-year-old or 10 or 12-year-old devotee ISKCON saying, you know, I'm already an old devotee. Where we are coming from in this age of Kali. Hardly anybody was Vaishnava. Everybody was coming from Mayavad or Smarta or at the best. Prabhupada grabbed up the people. Even some people are claiming to be born in Vaishnava family. We know that Prabhupada grabbed them up from Mayavad. That doesn't matter. Once you become in pure devotional service, that's what counts. It says that this what a person was before he's in pure devotional service, that's not proper logic. That says that once my mother was naked. Logic. She was once a little girl, she was once naked. But she's not naked anymore, now she's a mother, she's a respectable lady. So what a person was before and what they are now, it doesn't have any immediate bearing. Prabhupada said, if you're born of devotee parents, that's a good sign. Yes, the point is that right now we have to deal with the present. We should be fixed in our devotional service. We should keep that humble attitude. Lord Chaitanya, he gave the promise to Advaita, two things. The Advaita said, one thing is anybody who thinks they're very spiritually advanced, who thinks he's an advanced devotee, don't give him your mercy. Anyone who's very proud of their position, of some birth, or some any kind of material position, you don't give them the mercy. Those who are hopeless, who spiritually, they are the most needy, they need your mercy more than anyone. Those who are normally the hard cases, the tough nuts, the ones that will never have a hope, let them get your mercy, priority, basis. Be the Karuna Avatar, the Avatar to deliver all those who would never get a chance in other yugas. So you find a great big Vajradharatam Thakur is a big prince. He could have been a king if he wanted. He was the crown prince. He abdicated his throne to let someone else, but he was a lifelong brahmachari preacher. He's presenting himself in the most fallen. I need your mercy more. To success of getting what Chaitanya mercy. I need your mercy, Lord Chaitanya, because I have this qualification, I have PhD, I have MD, I have, you know, I've been a devotee so long, I did 17 books on Sankirtan yesterday. We take everything that I need your mercy, because And we know that if I do anything, we also, just to keep ourselves humble, this is the mercy of the Guru and Krishna. If I did 25 books or 150 books or 1,000 books, how do we stay from being puffed up? Because we know that this is by the mercy of Krishna. Krishna is acting through me as an instrument. If I wasn't so fallen, I could do so much more. I could double it. So the devotee is always training the mind to stay in that humble attitude. And this is the way you can be protected from Maya. Das Thakur is the most fallen. I mean, we have a hell of a lot more qualification to say we're more fallen. And at them, they said, we are more fallen than Jagai Madai. They're born Brahmanas in Navadvip. We are working for a Mecha king. We're working for this government here. They're all cow killers and everything. So we are more fallen. And we're just here breaking my heart. They're a pure Brahmin family. They may be working, but they're having daily Bhagavatam class and they're giving. The whole Navadvip is maintained by their donations. They're everyday chanting, doing Krishna worship, but they're presenting. They're finding out what is the defect in me and they're presenting that. We're the most fallen. Jagai Madai, you were great devotees, you delivered that. We're more fallen, so we need your mercy more than they. And Lord Chaitanya said, you stop it. You're breaking my heart. So much humility I can't take. Then he put his foot on the lotus, and his lotus feet on their head. We can use our imagination, although not that much imagination is required. We can use our intelligence, how we are in need of Lord Chaitanya's mercy, how we are fallen, how Lord Chaitanya is the most merciful, so therefore we have more need for His mercy. Does anybody here need Lord Chaitanya's mercy? Raise your hand. Okay, so, Chaitanya is so merciful, what do you have? You don't have to worry about Maya. We are fearful of Maya. That's how we pray, Lord Chaitanya. We remain, when we don't fear Maya anymore, then we're in trouble. If you fear Maya, that's healthy. Even Devaki feared Maya. Prabhupada said, devotee fearing Maya is very healthy. It's when the devotees don't fear Maya, that's the problem. Because Maya is more strong than we are as individuals. But we, under the shelter of Krishna, with Krishna holding our hand, Maya cannot, is not more powerful than Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Jai. Jai Gopinath.